Our sermon today is titled Of Failure, Fish, and Fear. If you're not into fish, don't worry. It's not much about fish, but it fit in with the failure and fear as one of the F words for the title. And so we're not going to learn about fishing today. Does anybody know what this is? It's called the Oculus Rift. It is the first of several virtual reality sets. And what you do with these, if you don't know, if you're older than me, you won't know this, and if you're younger, you probably do. I'm right in the middle there. But you put these on, and it creates a computer-generated world that you're in. So you put it on, you have these things on your hands that allow you to do maneuvering. So what happens is you're seeing something that isn't really there, but it's giving you the sense of what's going on, and they're getting better and better at these things. They're using them to treat phobias, like people who have fear of heights. They can create scenarios where they come up to steep cliffs and realize they don't die, and they do all kinds of interesting things with them, but it creates this reality. This one's probably not the best one for treating phobias, but there are a lot of games and trainings and all kinds of stuff that they're doing with these. And why I put this up is when I talk to people about reading scripture, and they just see a set of text, and you know, you read through it. And you ever read through something and just have, when you get done, it's like, I have no idea what I just read. And all of us do that sometimes, where our mind is just off on other things. But scripture is intended to do this, to create a picture that we can put ourselves in and ask ourselves the question, what's taking place here? Why did they record it? Because all kinds of stuff happened in Jesus' life. Scripture says if we'd written it all down, all the books couldn't contain it. But the Holy Spirit and the four authors of the Gospels said, these are the things we want people to read for the rest of time. And so they're there to create an understanding of the world and for us to engage them in such a way, not just to go, oh yeah, I remember this story that happened, and it happened to these guys that knew Jesus. We're supposed to be there in very similar way to this. It's supposed to create an opportunity for us to engage it. And so we're going to walk through this text, Luke 5, 1 through 11, and try to understand what's going on in the text that we are supposed to understand. We're just not supposed to understand a story for someone else. There's all kinds of stories. We are supposed to understand, why is this here for me? So we're going to start off here. It says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. And there weren't photographers back then, but there's pictures that you can go online. And so this is kind of what was happening. And one thing you'll notice, if you Google pictures of Jesus or you have Jesus books or whatever, he's always wearing white. The reason for that is so you can find him, because people all look the same. And if there was just one dude in a gray cloak up on there and everybody else, you may not. But so they put it, he didn't really dress it. There was no such thing as white back then. They didn't have bleach and they didn't have the ways to make clothes white. But they put him in white so you can identify him, and so he seems holy. He'd probably be holy if he was wearing a beige cloak, but they put him in white for this reason. So there he is. He's sitting there on the edge of the lake and it's getting crowded. So the crowd develops and it says, he saw at the water's edge two boats. So the crowd's starting to gather around him, and that's because Jesus, when he spoke, had a way of connecting to people, and they would hear and think, I need to listen to what he's saying. So they start crowding in, and it gets a little too crowded, and so he sees these two boats. They're sitting there, and it says they were left by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Now, we're going to find out a little later that this is a morning scene. It doesn't say it here, but we'll learn it later. So this is in the morning. The fishermen had been fishing all night long. And now they're cleaning their nets, which is what you do, apparently. I've never fished with nets. But they were cleaning their nets, and their boats are sitting there on the shore, and there's Jesus in this crowd. So they're there, and it says this. It says, Jesus, he got into one of the boats. If I was a fisherman, and I was cleaning my nets, and I had left my boats empty, and some dude got in it, I'd be a little edgy. Because it's my boat. I wouldn't really appreciate somebody just getting in it. This actually happened to me one time. We had our boat. We were at a little lake called Black Pine Lake. And it's overridden by Twisp. And we had our boat tied up to the dock. And I came down to the dock. And there, sure enough, was a guy in my boat. Well, it wasn't my boat. It's my dad's boat. But it was my boat. And he's in it. And he's got a fishing pole and a tackle box. And the rope is untied. He's about to head out. I think I'm like 16 maybe at the time. And so I didn't know exactly what to do. I sized him up and thought, maybe 50-50. But I decided, the guy's in my boat. I got to say something. So I said, and I called him sir. He was probably in his 30s. Maybe not. But to me, he looked like that. I said, sir, is that your boat? And he said, no, I'm just borrowing it. Is it yours? And I said, yeah. And I was going to use it. So he tied it back up, got out, and walked away. I didn't know what to say, so I just let him go. And I got in and fished. I came back and told my dad later. And the guy actually ended up coming up to and wandering around the camp and all kinds of stuff. And I don't know anything else that happened to him, except I was really bugged that he was in my boat. Because it's my boat. Now, these guys, Jesus has been talking, and they're cleaning their nets. And remember, they're fishermen, right? They're not like priests or something. Fishermen are tough guys. They're used to getting cuts, and they're out all night, and they don't get seasick. I get seasick if I'm out on the water like that. But these guys are tough guys, and there's this religious dude who's talking about God. They get into his boat, or he gets into their boat. And it happens to be the one that belongs to Simon, who's Peter. And we know a little bit about Peter because we've been around the church for a while. Peter's pretty tough and rumbly. He's got a little edge to him. And I would think if some guy got into Peter's boat that Peter didn't know, and particularly some religious guy, he might have something to say. But he doesn't. It says here that what happens is he got into one of them, the boats, and belonged to Simon, asked him to put out to shore. So not only did he stand in the boat, he said, hey, you, would you take me out a little bit? I'd be really, if I came down to the dock that day and the guy was in my boat and he said, hey, you want to take me for a spin? I don't know what I would have said, but it wouldn't have been yes. He does. Peter gets in the boat. So what we know now, we've just read a little bit of text, but that Peter takes him out a little ways into the water, is we know that Peter's been changed just enough to be willing to do something he probably normally wouldn't do. That this guy is teaching something significant enough to draw in a crowd and get a fisherman who's tired after a long day's work to take him out in his boat and leave the nets that he hasn't finished cleaning. So Jesus somehow has had enough impact already to get him to go out. So then it says at the end of this verse, then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So now Peter's in the boat listening to some religious guy talk about God. Before I was a Christian, which was when I was in the lake, if some guy had been in my boat and I came down and he's in my boat, and not only did he not get out, but he said, you want to take me out? And then he started talking religious stuff. I'd have just pushed him out of the boat. Peter doesn't do that. When he had finished speaking, it gives us no sense of time here, but it says when he had finished speaking, however much time that was, he says to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now, again, it doesn't say exactly what's going time-wise here, but we know he was on the shore cleaning his nets, right? And now he says to put out. So what Peter's got to do is land the boat, get his nets, and get back in the boat and go out, because his nets were being cleaned when he was asked. He wasn't done. And Jesus was wanting to get pushed out so he could teach. There was no time to get all the nets in the boat. So he had to go back to get the nets and come into the boat and then go out and do what? Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Now Pete's had enough. If you don't know, Simon is Peter, and that's why I refer to him as Peter, because that's who he is in my mind and most of our minds. But Simon's Peter. So he says, and you can sort of hear the, you've got to be kidding me, in his voice. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. These are professional fishermen who live off of fishing. I'm not a professional fisherman. I've talked with some fishermen from time to time about how to catch fish, and basically what I've been told is if you don't know what you're doing, you're not going to be very successful. But if you do know what you do, what you're doing, even then there'll be times when you're going to know there's nothing you can do. You're not going to catch any fish. The key to being a good fisherman is knowing when it's those times, and then you just go in because you're not going to catch anything. Peter's one of these guys. He's been fishing forever. He caught nothing all night. He knows there's no point, but he's a polite man, even though he's a fisherman. We've been working hard all night, but because you say so, I'll let down the nets. Now, I don't know here specifically if this is that he has been sort of drawn in by who Jesus is, or it's the fastest way out of this situation is to just put the nets in the water. One way or the other, he says he'll do it. And he says it because Jesus says so. I don't read any faith here other than this guy has been saying some stuff that makes some sense. He doesn't know jack about fishing, though. But I'm going to put my nets in the water. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. That's a lot of fish. They knew how to make nets, and their nets worked. But they got so many fish by putting their nets out in the deep water that they pulling them back in, and the nets start to tear. It doesn't focus a lot on this. Another gospel focuses just a little bit more on it, but right here it doesn't. What it says is that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come help them. So they had everybody else come, and they filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Miraculous. This is never quoted as one of the great miracles of Jesus, like the feeding of the 5,000, but this is pretty miraculous. The impression is they've never had this many fish before, even on a good day. This was a bad day, and their nets are packed full. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me. I'm a sinful man." It's at this point when Jesus realizes who he's with. He's heard quite a bit of what Jesus has had to say. He's engaged with him enough to know there's some legitimacy about who he is. It's big crowds of people, and there's something about the spirit of him. There's some reason why I'm even here in my boat. I wouldn't do this normally, but here I am, and I caught all these fish that shouldn't have happened. There's something about God here, and he realizes it. And they, you know, it would make more sense if he just said, "Who are you?" Or, "How did you do that?" Or, "How did you know?" Or, "Are you a master fisherman?" Or anything else. But instead, what Peter immediately goes to is, "This guy's from God, and I'm not. I don't deserve to be around you." Verse 9 says, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken," which makes sense. "And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon." Now remember the increments we've been in, and I'm going to show them to you. This little piece here, then. The text goes through four sections. We're taking a little time out here to help you understand how you, when you read Scripture. Scripture's organized intentionally. And this is, it starts off when, it says, when he had finished speaking. When he had finished speaking, it goes on, and then it says, when they had done so, and then after it says, when Simon Peter saw this, and then Jesus says to Simon. So we have these four incremental steps. When Jesus had finished speaking, there's some awareness that comes along. things happen after each one of these. Now, I want you to see what Jesus says. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at his knees, get down to the bottom. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. That would weird me out. Just had this huge catch of fish. Jesus is obviously somebody. He's just about sunk my boats with fish. The nets are torn because there's so many of them. I realize he's from God, and I say, you got to get away from me. And Jesus doesn't even answer that question. He doesn't address what Peter just said, even though what Peter said is true. I'm a sinful man, true enough. He doesn't even say that. He says this, don't be afraid. The very first thing that Jesus steps in and says is, don't be afraid. We as human beings are afraid by nature. It's actually hardwired into us. This is one of the kind of weird complexities of how God made us, because we're not supposed to be afraid when we trust God, and yet it's built in us to be afraid. It keeps us alive at times. When we're living our life, fear tells us we're in danger. Peter's afraid. Don't be afraid, he says. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. We'll come back to that. When he had finished speaking, this is what happened. Peter was hearing Jesus. This happens with every one of us somewhere before we got here today. You have heard from Jesus. Maybe at church, maybe watching television, maybe a friend sharing something, but somewhere along the line, you heard a little bit about Jesus. Then, when they had done so, they'd already gone in a boat. So when they get to this next one, they try out what has been said. They push out. Just a little step. I'm going to get in this boat with this strange guy, and I'm going to push out. They hear, and then they try it out. And all of us have been here, because here you are today. See, you've heard a little bit about Jesus, or a lot of bit about Jesus, and you've tried it out some. Maybe that means that you've come to church a few times. Maybe it means you've come to church a lot of times. You might have read your Bible. Maybe prayed some. You might have even been baptized. You've tried it out. But then what happens is Simon Peter saw this. Saw what? The reality of Jesus Christ, not just a religious figure, not just the Western world's faith system, but actually Jesus. When Simon Peter saw this, he actually saw the truth. This guy comes from God. Now remember, they've already tried it out. They've gone out in a boat with Jesus. That takes a fair amount of faith. Heard Jesus, Peter has extended some faith. They then, after that, see the truth. See, what happens in our life in Christ is we hear about Jesus, then we believe a little bit, enough to try it out. And then somewhere after that, you actually get it. It's the Son of God. Remember when Jesus said, we talked about this last week, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where would we go? You're the guy. When Jesus asked him, who do you say that I am? But who's the guy who says it? Peter comes back and says, you're the guy. There's some point after you think you're a believer that you actually understand who Jesus is. Here it is with Peter. He sees the truth. And at that point, Jesus can speak to him. It's at that point, other than just saying, hey, come along. Let's go out in this boat together. Let me sit in your boat for a little bit and you listen to the things I'm saying. He doesn't talk to Peter at all at that point. But after he said and I would love to know, and I'm going to ask when I get there, what did you say to the crowd? Because I know you were talking to Peter. He let Peter sit there long enough for the light to start to flicker. And then he pushed Peter a little bit. Put your nets down. Let's see if you believe who I am just enough to try it out. And he put his nets down and at that point, Peter goes, you've got to leave me. I'm a sinful man. He didn't realize that he was a sinful man until that happens. And you and I know Jesus before we know that we're sinners. And then you realize, when you really start to know him, I'm not worthy. I'm not who I should be. And the natural thing is to close down. And that's what Peter does. You've got to go away. But Jesus says, I got none of that. He says, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. Now, what happened? They followed him. It didn't have to happen that way. It could have happened this way. It could have been that they pushed out into the boat a little bit, and then they let the fish down, or the nets down, and they got filled with fish, and they realized, and Jesus said, now I'm going to make you fishers of men. And they could have said, no, let's keep it right here. I know who you are now. I know how to find you. You live in the area. But I'm not going to become fishers of men. But Jesus said, don't be afraid. And then they chose to follow him. Why do I tell us this? You can read through this story 100 times and not realize what this story is saying. You can know Jesus and not belong to him. You can go out in the boat with him and not belong to him. You can go to church and not belong to him. You can watch on TV, you can listen on the radio, you can write checks in your checkbook, you can do all these things and not belong to him, because until you come to a place where you realize he's the savior of my soul, he's the reason to exist, he's my life. Remember last week, if you were here, he said, I'm the bread of life. The only way you can actually live is if he comes inside of you. That's why it's the bread. What happens here is this progressive story of getting to know Jesus. And why I'm telling it is, I believe this, in this church and in the greater church at large, there are a lot of people who know Jesus that don't belong to Jesus. This story is talking about that. This story is talking about that you get to the place and you come to the point of realization, this is who Jesus Christ is. And he didn't say to him, Jesus didn't say to Peter, it's good that you understand that you're a sinful man. What he said was, I'm not even going to deal with that. That's a given. Don't be afraid. And he's saying, don't be afraid about the next thing I'm going to say. Come and follow me. Don't be afraid. At this moment, right here, don't be afraid. Don't worry about being a sinner. I can deal with that. Come and follow me. I'm going to take you from this fishing job to a different fishing job. One for people in the kingdom. So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. This is where you're saved. Yeah. You aren't saved before this. It's a serious text that we read through and think, ah, that's pretty cool how all those boats came in and he ended up being a follower of Jesus. Any place this story ends before this verse, Peter isn't saved. He's a believer. And we have this question that we ask people, are you a believer? And it's too weak. There are too many believers and not enough followers. Because the believers think they're getting into heaven and they're not. The text exists for the salvation of our souls. Are you going to come with me, or are you just going to believe in me? Now, don't get me wrong. Scripture says, those who believe in the Lord, but believe means to follow. It doesn't just mean, I know you exist and I know you're there and I'll stop by if I need you. That's not what Scripture talks about. Why? Because it costs the death of the Son of God. It's too expensive to buy too little. It's only a just payment if it buys all of you. If you stop at the third step, and I believe far too often people do, and preachers okay it, all you come as you are and stay as you are. No. Come as you are and follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And you'll have life like you've never had it before, but you have to believe. Don't be afraid of that call, but don't stay at the third step. Amen? Amen.